Hey, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Light It Up Live, where we're igniting minds and elevating faith, trying to bring a little bit of light to a dark world, one episode at a time. My name's John, and your host for tonight. But I don't do it alone. I got my boy Josh with me.
What's up, partner? How you guys doing?
How we doing, all right. My brother Ed, and we always got Mr. Joe Stan. We got Mr. Joe Stan stepping in with us again today from Warpath Ministries. How we doing, Joe?
How you doing?
Good, man. I am blessed, man. The good Lord has been amazing in my life, man. I appreciate you guys asking me to come on.
Amen, man. We always love it when Joe comes on, man. We always like to tell people why we how we come up with the name. My boy Impact came up with the name, and it comes from Genesis 1:3. And it is, and God said, let there be light, and there would be light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. Come on, somebody. That's why we do this show. It's because we're trying to bring a little bit of light into a dark world, one episode at a time. You guys, don't forget that we got a YouTube channel, man. You guys go over to YouTube, hit that subscribe, that like button. You go in there, hit in the search bar, you put the at symbol, Light It Up Live, all one word. Go hit that subscribe and that like button. Saturday night, 7:30. We're always live here on Facebook, YouTube channel, and on Twitch. And we rebroadcast the next day on the YouTube channel and on iHeartRadio. Episode 19, fellas. 19.
Wow. Quite a few.
Already, that's quick. That's quick. Yeah, feels, man, like yesterday.
19, bro.
We're episode.
Episode 19. What today's title is the gift of words. The gift of words. It's today's going to be about, you know what I mean, how a simple compliment can really change somebody's day. Because there's a whole bunch of people out there, you guys, that suffer in silence. And that's a killer, man. People suffering in silence. You never know how somebody's day is going. So just, man, a simple compliment can really, really change somebody's day, man. The power of a single sentence, right, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, the power of a sentence can be a strong.
Sometimes not even a word, just some body language, you know, just a smile. I've smiled at people that I've, you know what I mean? And they look at you weird for a minute, but then they smile back. They're like, well, all right, I like that.
Yeah. It's like the frown of laughter, man. I mean, you know, like that's uplifting in itself.
You guys, don't forget, if you're out there on Facebook or YouTube, if you comment, we can interact with you. And, see your comments here, and we'll put them up on the show. You know what, Josh? I think it's almost time for my favorite song that we have created. This song makes me smile. It's time.
A bit of a Colgate smile, huh?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Okay.
It's time for Josh's Spotlight, baby.
Okay. You know what time it is. It's time for Josh's Spotlight.
Hey, get down with your bad self.
Hey.
Yeah, little finger shaking.
What you got for us today on Josh's Spotlight, my brother?
Well, my spotlight is going to be based around, you know, the show's about saying kind words to people, you know, how just the smallest little ray of sunshine could brighten someone's whole day. Well, for me, growing up, you know what I'm saying, I grew up pretty much an only child. So for me, I got that from music. You know what I mean? I'd have different types of music that make me feel certain ways. And I knew what music I could listen to at that moment and couldn't. You know what I mean? Like there's an artist named Tom Waits. He does a lot of Christian stuff. And I mean, it gets you, you know what I mean? And I'd be in a good mood and it's on my playlist and it flips through and now I'm crying on my way to work. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Music to me is everything. You know, someone said, hey, if you could go blind or deaf, which one would you pick? It's a really hard choice. You know what I'm saying? Cause I mean, not to be able to see is, I don't know, but man, with life without music for me, you know, it'd be too much. So, yeah, my spotlight is, you know, the artists that I love to keep, you know what I'm saying, on my playlist, because, you know, sometimes you need music. Sometimes you don't even need to call somebody. Just play that song that you remember. Play that song your dad used to listen to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know the song Neon Moon? You know what I mean? I couldn't tell you who sings. I can't tell you who sings the song because I'm not a big country guy. But I know that song word for word.
I bet you could.
And I love that song. I bet you could. You
know, Brooks and Dunn, baby.
Is it Brooks and Dunn? Yeah, I was just saying. But that song, it reminds me of Pops all day. And, I mean, if it comes on, it's like, you got to play that. Don't turn that off, man. You know what I'm saying? Let it play. You know, to where other songs, like Cats in the Cradle, I have a hard time listening to that one. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So, sometimes the kind words are already written in a tune. You know what I mean? You just got to know which station to tune into, bro.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. You know?
So, yeah, here's my spotlight, my man. You know?
Awesome. Yeah, the gift of words, man. And, yeah, that is a gift of words, right? You know what I mean? Hearing a good song when you're down and it can lift you up, man.
Yeah.
So how we been, Mr. Joe? What's been going on since we seen you last, man? We got Joe here with us from Warpath again.
Yeah, man, we've had a busy October. It started out with a revival in Morristown, Tennessee, man. It was an amazing day. We had 15 baptisms, 4 people gave their life to the Lord for the first time. We had 11 rededications. And then from there, the next week.
Give it up for the Lord.
I got married.
Oh, would you look at that, boy.
Oh, that's good
Somebody
stuff.
Tied the big man down.
Yes, sir. And then let's see. Yesterday, picked up 5 years of sobriety.
Wow, bro. Today, congratulations.
Thank you. I got to give the glory to the Lord on that one, man.
Amen.
It won't nothing I did. And then today, we did a impact day at church, man. We set up the prayer tent, and man, tears were flowing. We had a lot of people coming up. We got to pray over and pray for. And it was just not to play pun on the word impact, but it was an impactful day at Impact Day. So it's all been good in October.
Amen.
October's a good month. I love it.
Yeah. We're happy that you're back with us, man. Again, you guys, this is episode 19, The Gift of Words. If you're out there watching us live right now, hit up the chat, man. We'd love to see what you're talking about and interact with you a little bit, man. Yeah, when I came up with this, the gift of words, you guys, what I was thinking about, and what's wonderful about all these topics, guys, is that just like Josh just said, when he heard the gift of words, he thought about music. You know what I mean? And that's the beautiful thing about these topics, you know, is that it kind of hits us all a different way. But when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about how a simple compliment can change somebody's entire day. And it really can, because when people suffer in silence, a simple compliment can completely turn their day around. They're like, somebody actually sees me. Yeah. And you know, that person might have not felt seen for a long time. They haven't heard something good said about them in a long time. Or they're hearing it from people that they're really close to. And when a total stranger gives somebody a compliment, that could really change things. You know, me and, you know, Josh, we were talking about that today, about, man, you know what, even when I'm in the store, man, sometimes I'll see somebody, hey, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that goes along with somebody. That,
yeah.
That really does.
I've had people look at me like, I've had people like, you're a weirdo. Like, no, I'm not a weirdo. I just like talking to people, man. You know what I mean? And I always try to be funny in some type of way, you know?
Well, you I'll see, like, women and the way they compliment each other. And like, I try to imagine, like, if that was a guy doing that, like, girl, your hair looks so good. Your butt looks so good. If I was to tell John how good his butt looked, I don't think he'd take it as a compliment.
No. Like, we can't say, hey, your beard game's strong today, bro. Hey, like, you're doing good with the beard. Both of y'all, bro. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, we can do that. You know what I mean? But, I mean.
I was going to say, Joe, if you tell me if you told me my hair looked great today, I would think something's wrong with your brother.
Yeah, you're talking about going deaf or blind.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's, you know, speaking of women and the power of words, pretty girls don't know what power they have. You know what I mean? If they would just take a moment, if they just said hi to an ugly dude, and I don't mean that, you know, mean or anything, it would make his whole week. You know what I mean? Like, it really wouldn't. They just don't know. It's nothing to them. It's a brush off. I mean, I know there's creepers out there, and if they say hi to him, now this guy's going to start following around. But, you know, it's just something simple that they can do.
There's a great joke. There's a great joke there somewhere. But this is a Christian show. We're just going to
move on. Oh, yeah. No, I ain't punchlining it. No, sir. No.
You know what? Why? Compliments really matter more than a lot of people think. You know what I mean? And I bet you got some biblical things on how the gift of words are in the Bible.
Well, I'm glad you asked. When you sent me this topic, man, you know, you're talking about perspectives. Like mine went on this double-edged sword, man. Like, words have life-giving power, but they also have the ability to bring death. So, you know, I've got some notes here, but if you thought Proverbs 18:21 says here, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And I want you to think about this. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us carries a weapon in our mouth. Not a sword, not a gun, but a word.
Come on.
Words start wars. They heal nations. They destroy marriages. Words can restore broken hearts. They can either build bridges or burn them down. We live in a culture where words are cheap. People type before they think. They speak before they pray. They post before they pause. But God says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So that means every time you open your mouth, you're either speaking life into someone or you're speaking death into someone. And then, you know, like, words also have creative power. Genesis 1 reminds us that God spoke the world into existence. He didn't swing a hammer. He didn't lift a brush. He spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light it up live, baby.
Light it up live.
That means this: if we're made in the image of God, then our words have creative power as well. You can speak peace into chaos, faith into fear. You can speak hope into despair, and you can speak purpose into someone who feels worthless. Every word you say either creates or destroys. It either builds up or it tears down. So we can kind of, you know, if you guys want to talk about that, or we can go into, you know, the destructive power of words and the
words we say can create or destroy. Wow. That's probably, yeah, the tongue, it can be, man. It can be a weapon too. So I'm glad you brought that up, because the gift of words, you know, it can go both ways. You can, like, same way, if somebody's having a bad day, you know what I mean? And if you come at them, you know what I mean? And you have no, what's the word I'm looking for? No, sympathy. And you come at them, you know, that could tip them over the edge. And yeah,
right. I mean, like, you know, we probably all grew up with some of this. We've all used our words as weapons. We've gossiped, snapped, shouted, said something that cut someone deep. And we've also, you know, we carry wounds from things that we've had said to us. Things like, "You'll never be good enough," or "You're just like your father," or "You'll always be broken." You know, those types of things. Like, we've heard all this before. And those words didn't come with bruises. They left scars. You can recover from a punch a lot quicker than you can recover from a word.
Amen. Wow.
It's definitely a double-edged sword. I have a hard time with it. I have a real hard time with it. You know what I mean? Sometimes some of the things I say, I know they ain't the best of things. I need to, you know what I'm saying, work on it a little bit. And I need to stop looking at politics as well.
You know, it's funny how a few words can outlast the moment they're spoken.
Yeah.
Especially out of anger. If you speak out of anger, it's hard to take it back.
Blurt a few words out, and that could last in somebody for years, good or bad.
I've seen resentments last decades over something that somebody said. And it's like, you know, we all get caught up in emotions sometimes. And, you know, those are the points, like, when we're angry, when we feel slighted, when we feel insulted. You know, a lot of times we lack empathy in the person that harmed us. Like, you know, look at somebody, don't know what they're going through, don't understand how something I have done or said may make them feel, or their perspective on life in general. They say something and I hear it a certain way, and the next thing you know, like, we don't talk anymore. And there's a huge gap between us. And, you know, a lot of times it's just those humbling of ourselves to come up and apologize, or, you know, make an amends or something along those lines. Those are the types of things that fills the gap. So it's kind of, I guess we got to keep it in mind, both when we're the speaker and the receiver of communication, because it is a two-part process. You know, that deal where, you know, if I'm a kid and want my dad to throw the ball and he says, I'm busy, and he means I'm doing something, I'm working around the house, I'm trying to pay the bills. And what I hear as a child is, I don't have time for you. Like, he said one thing, he meant it one way, I took it another. And all of a sudden there's an issue there. But on the other hand, words do have a restorative power. They can heal you. They can build you up from rubble. And, you know, those encouraging moments are really important.
Josh, you got a maybe a story. Somebody has said something small to you that stuck with you for years.
Yeah, I guess I do. You remember we worked for that moving company together. You know what I'm saying? And but I won't say no names, okay? But one of the owner's sons that worked there, he didn't really care much for me. And I went to work back with the company years later after a new owner purchased it. And the original owner showed up, son showed up, and he laughed at me. He laughed at me for still being at the same job after all those years. Like, yeah. I couldn't have done any better. You know what I'm saying? I was happy where I was. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see nothing wrong with it. But I mean, he didn't even say nothing, but him laughing, like, yeah, really, it really made me mad, man. And I'm going to tell you what, for years, I would think back on that. Just, I could hear it. You know what I mean? And it would piss me off again.
Now, what about the other side of it? What about something, a compliment, something good somebody has said to you that has stuck with you for years?
Every time one of my kids say, I love you, daddy.
Come
you know
on, man.
Like, you know, I mean, real talk, man. When I come in the back door, you know, because I like to go around the side of my house. And after work, come home, you know, dad's home. That right there, man. That'll carry me to the end, all the way. So, yeah, as long as I got those, I'm good.
All right, well, I'll give you a good and a bad one. You know, when I was a kid, man, like, you know, I had one of the fathers that kind of, you know, told me that I wouldn't amount to much, and he didn't really love me. I remember, like, the first time I went to try to make an amends, doing a 12-step process with him, and, like, I went through this whole list and, like, put it all on myself. You know, I didn't mention anything about the stuff he had done. And when I got done, he looked at me and he said, I love you because I have to, but I don't like you. And he got up and walked away. And like that, I won't say it was the reason, but that was a catalyst for me going back down into addiction and really ripping my life to shreds after that. I mean, I was like, if I can't make him proud, I'll prove him right. And on the good side of things, you know, I was talking to John about this before we started, man. I got a text message from my son about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, just out of the blue, he texts me and it says, he said, thank you for leading me to Christ, Dad. I love you. And man, like that right there, like getting that the night before we put on that revival and leading into this month, man, it's really just ignited me to sow into people and to, you know, give encouragement or show up and just be a person there for them and build them up the way my son did, man. And it's just amazing. You're coming from an 11-year-old just with the presence to say something like that. Man, it just, like, you know, looking back at my past, it's like, man, with all the wrong I've done, like maybe I'm doing something right. So that was just really encouraging for me.
Amen, man. I got a good example of some words that were said to me that have stuck with me ever since they were said, and it pertains to my son too. I first started this recovery journey and this change in my life journey. Yeah, I had a lot of regrets, and I was talking to my oldest son. My oldest son is 30. When I was talking to him, I was apologizing for not being there. And he told me the words, "I'm proud of you, Dad. And at least you're here now." When my son said that, dude, whew, I'll never forget those words ever again. I'll never forget ever again. And when your son tells you that I'm proud of you, whew, I'll never forget it. And Joe, coming back to yours, man. Now let's compare. Is that the same son you tell a story about your little boy asking a question about outside the window?
Mm.
Remember that? Is that the same son that asked that question?
It's the same son, man. He's way too smart for his own good.
And now he gets to see that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
what's that story, Joe? People might not know that story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was, you know, at the end of my rope, man. Like, yeah, I'd planned to kill myself whenever I ran out of whatever I had to do at the time, and, you know, ran out of money and all those things. And I was out of money and everything I could trade for it. So, I mean, in all honesty, I probably had about a week left before I was going to, you know, plan to end my life and get a phone call from his mom. I go see him at the park, and, you know, I'm watching him from a distance, and I'm thinking he ain't going to know who I am because of the way I look, man. I was a lot lighter than I am right now. I had gotten a horrific car accident. It was all mangled up, and he looks up at me, and he just, like, comes running up, and he's like, "Daddy." And he says, "Did you almost die?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "If you die, I want to bury you outside of my bedroom window, so you always be there." And that was one of them moments that, like, just wrecked my life, you know, in the best way possible. Yeah, that's what
in the best way possible
caused me to get on my knees and beg God for help and mean it. But, you know, one of the things I thought was really interesting about, you know, what we were talking. You know, this is dynamic, man. All of our, like, all three of us said that the words that we won't never forget came from our children. Like that, and that right there, man, is like, there's something that happened to us between being a child and being an adult that has really separated us from God. Cause that, you know, I think, you know, when we're born, we're about as close to the perfect version that God intended us to be as possible. And then life starts infiltrating, and the enemy gets strongholds, and he grabs you by your foot, and he starts whispering lies into you, and he creates hatred and bitterness. But if we start approaching each other as children, like looking at this world through the eyes of a child, you know, I think we would probably have a lot better society than what we have today. You know, there would be a lot less people taking their own lives, a lot less addiction, a lot less people feeling abandoned and going through and experiencing all the kinds of trauma. Like if we just looked at each other the way children do, because you're not born knowing how to hate. We learn that.
Absolutely. That just reminded me of Rodney King wrote a book, and one of the parts of the book, he was like, we were not born to hate as children. You know, we don't develop that until adults infiltrate us. You know what I mean? So that was a lot of like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think when it comes to giving compliments, I think also it's on the other side of it. You know, you got to know how to take a compliment too, you know, because if you refuse, you know, if you refuse somebody's compliment, you're honoring the person that gives it. You know what I mean? Right. You're not like accepting to say, oh yes, I know I have great hair. I know that. Thanks, man. Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, man, because you know, when I was in California, like right after my son, you know, asked me that question, you know, I was on a plane within about 3 days from that, heading to California, got sober. And I had a birthday when I was in treatment. And like, I've never really had a birthday celebrated. And I woke up one morning and like all these rehab people were coming in my bedroom. They had cut up like magazine paper and all kinds of mess and like was throwing it like confetti, singing happy birthday to me. The one of the techs, he was this big Mexican guy, like he had cooked huevos rancheros for breakfast, man. It's like all done up. And I remember like they're singing to me, and I remember like wanting to smile so bad and fighting it off. And you know, when they left around, I was like, why are you doing that? Like, why can't you express gratitude and joy when these people are doing something for you? Like, this is nice. Like, why can't you receive this? And I think a lot of us, man, we get in a position where we can't give and receive love anymore. And, you know, it's a really cold and lonely place to be when you can neither do either one of those things. Like, I can't love somebody else because I'm so selfish. I'm so caught up in my own mire. And I can't receive love because I hate myself. And what reason would anyone have to love me? You know, it's just a cold place to be.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe not hate yourself, but like when people like give me compliments, sometimes I'm embarrassed by it because I'm not really used to. You know what I mean? I'm used to doing for myself and making myself, you know, line my ducks in their own rows. So when someone says you're doing a good job, man, it's just uncomfortable sometimes to me. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, and I think with giving compliments, a lot of people that are shy, you know, I mean, that would love to give somebody a compliment and help. I think it's kind of hard to understand how to give a compliment. But I think what people need to remember, don't always just make it about looks. You know, I mean, make it about character. Yeah. And that is a big booster. You know, like I've told Josh many times, you know, man, you're a nice dude, man. You're nice. And he's heard it at work a lot. You know, I mean, that they always tell him, you know, how nice he is. That, you know, make it about character, not just about, man, your beard's looking dope today, buddy.
Well, thank you.
They could be like, Joe, I see Jesus shining in you, bro. I see, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, I think for me, man, because, you know, that was I was in a different place in life. And, you know, that story I told with the birthday part, like today, man, if somebody compliments me, I usually respond by insulting myself. And, you know, and I think it's like, you know, I'll make some kind of sarcastic joke about myself.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. I think it's like when you compliment me, I feel exposed. You know, I feel vulnerable right now.
It's hard. It's hard to accept.
It's like get this off of me.
It is. It's hard. It's hard to accept a compliment, man. It really is. It's embarrassing, like Josh said. Yeah, it's kind of hard to accept.
Like brings like a soft side out in you. You don't want to see.
Yeah.
You guys ever see my underarm right here? Have you ever seen it? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
You got any more scripture on this? You got any more scripture on the gift of words, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I've got some here on, you know, I'm going to jump into the ministry of encouragement. If you throw up that one from Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us think about, okay, I'll read the whole verse. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So, you know, this is a big deal, man, like encouragement. Encouragement just isn't nice. It's as necessary as oxygen. It's spiritual oxygen for us. Like, you may be the only person all week that speaks life into someone's dry bones. So every day you got a choice. I'm either going to lift up or I'm going to tear down. I'm either going to fan a flame or I'm going to snuff it out. Will I speak like Jesus or will I speak like the accuser? Sometimes one sentence can change a person's life. I believe in you. God isn't done with you. You're not alone. Your words weigh more than gold. And Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 34, if you will put that up, he's talking to, like, you know, he is speaking death into the Pharisees at the beginning here. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If bitterness fills your heart, bitterness spills out of your mouth. If grace fills your heart, then grace flows out of your mouth. So the issue just isn't your tongue, it's your heart. You don't need a new vocabulary, you need a new heart. Have the heart of a child here. And you know, let David's prayer in Psalm 19:14, he says basically, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. So let us let that be our prayer. Lord, make my words healing and not hurting. Make my speech reflect your spirit. And remember that a word can change a destiny. If you think about this, God told Gideon, mighty warrior. While he was hiding in fear, he calls him a mighty warrior. Jesus told Peter, on this rock I will build my church, even after his failure in denying him. The angel told Mary, you are highly favored, when she was just a young girl from Nazareth. Those words shape their destinies. Your encouragement might awaken someone's spirit, might awaken their calling. Your words might be the spark that brings revival into their life. So do not underestimate what God can do through a single sentence spoken in faith.
Come on, man. I'm still looking at this. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. That's pretty powerful, man. You know, because that kind of goes back to, like you guys have been saying, you know, it's words could be harmful and good, you know. So yeah. We got a good compliment up here for you guys from my mama. Look at there. On the chat.
Thanks, Mom.
You're very inspiring and honest, you guys. That's from my mama.
Now, and does Miss Bacon got the 5-star fan badge yet? Or, I mean, how do you pass that out?
We gotta come up with what it is.
Yeah.
We do.
Give her a family discount for the coffee mug, man.
Oh, man, she got one coming. I need a picture of you, John, with her. You know what I mean? Because we're going to put that on the back. Because if she didn't light it up live, there'd be no John Bacon, you know. So sorry about that.
Oh my goodness!
But hey, you know what? One of my favorite things to do at work, man, honestly, is at the end of the day, tell all the guys good job, man. Yeah. I like doing that, man. Even if we had a rocky day, I'll be like, hey, man, good job, man, good job.
And that goes a long way, man. It really does. You know, a simple compliment like that really. And you know what that does for a lot of those guys? They might have had a really terrible day that day. They might have been like, man, I do not even want to come in tomorrow. I can't believe I got to do this all over again. But when they hear those simple words from me at the end of the day, man, good job today. Like, whoa, somebody actually paid attention to what I did today.
Yeah, huh. Somebody appreciates me.
You know, yes, appreciates the correct word.
Man, that can change the entire work environment. Like, yeah, I've worked at places where you don't hear anything unless it's, you know, you need to do better or what happened, you messed up. But, like, just to hear good job today, like, y'all worked hard, I'm proud of you, like, something along those lines, it changes the whole, you know, the whole posture of work.
It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, John, you know, that project I just had, you know, it didn't go the greatest. Yep. And, I mean, I got talked at about it, but I reflected back. I've had quite a few big things that I've done a good job on, and the man came to me and said, hey, good job, bro. Good job. So, I mean, he's definitely – I definitely like getting those compliments. You know what I mean? I'm not too shy with those, but, yeah.
Well, Mr. Joe, I really thank you for joining us again, my brother. It's every time we call Joe, if he's available, man, he jumps on here with us, man. You always come with the fire, man. I love it when you join us, my friend. And you gave me a compliment tonight too, man, when you called me a little while ago and you asked, you can talk about it if you want, but I'm just going to say this. When you asked, hey, man, you got a minute? I didn't know what you were going to ask me. I had no idea. Yeah. That was a damn huge compliment for me, buddy. It really was. And I want to say thank you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing that, man. That was big for me. You know, Josh is my best friend. You can ask him. I got right the phone, call him up. Hey, dude. I just got a good phone call.
And there's not a more deserving person, man. This is something I know you've been wanting to do, John. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Godspeed. Yeah. You're well spoken. So.
Right. I mean, we see what you're doing. Like, you know, we see a reflection of Christ in what you do. We see the light radiating through you, man. And you're conducting a type of joy and peace in your own life, but also with the people you encountered. You can't put a price tag on it, man. It's incredible. And just like, you know, knowing you the last 3 years and watching the growth that you've had is just really been, it's been a blessing in my own life. So, man, I appreciate you.
Wow.
And your butt looks good.
Yeah, thanks. I've been working on the butt too.
Yeah.
You know, dude, I for many years I went around my life and I loved to hate. I did. I liked it. I loved to be tough. I loved to keep my eyes wrinkled up and keep my knuckles white. I did that for many years. But now I know that I didn't love that. Now I know I was doing that to keep people away from me.
Mm.
I was putting a guard up, a wall. Now I love to love, man. I really do. I truly, truly care about other people. I really want people to feel like you and me feel, dude. You know? I'm talking me and Joe because Josh really never really went down this addiction path that we went, you know, and I want people to feel like we do. And there's one answer. There's one common factor between me and you, Joe, on how we did this. We don't have a magic wand, Joe. What is it? It's Jesus Christ.
Bingo.
That's how we did this. And I want people to know. I just got chills. I just got goosebumps.
That's the Holy Spirit, boy.
I want people to know how we feel like this. I want people, when people ask me, how do you know God's real? How do you know you don't get to see him? Well, look at me. I'm the example because I could feel it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to feel that way too, I could show you. It's free. All you have to do is ask, man. All you have to do is ask. So I truly, truly care about people, man. It gets me in trouble sometimes because I'll trust people a little too much in the beginning, but I won't stop because I still truly believe that there are more good people in this world than there are bad. I think there's a lot of people are lost and they need a break. And so, man, thank you, man, for that phone call. And I'm very looking forward to the future, my brother.
Oh yeah, same.
Absolutely. Well, with that, you guys, I got a few thoughts about the topic today, about the gift of words. This is my final thoughts. You know, we spend so much of our lives waiting for the big moments, the promotions, the milestones, the grand gestures. But sometimes the most powerful thing we can give or receive is something small. Just a few honest words. A compliment costs us nothing, but it can lift a soul that's been quietly sinking. I can remind someone that they matter, that they're seen, and that their effort hasn't gone unnoticed. And the truth is, we never really know what someone's carrying. One kind word might be the thing that keeps them going. So this week, give the gift of words. Tell someone you appreciate them. Compliment that coworker who's been working hard. Tell your kids you're proud of them. Let your spouse know they still make your heart light up. And when someone gives you a compliment, don't brush it off. Accept it with grace. That's how love flows both ways. You see, words are seeds. What we plant in others grows. Sometimes in ways we'll never see. So plant kindness, speak life, and remember, your words carry power. Use them well. Until next time, keep shining, keep speaking life, and never underestimate the gift of words. Those are my final thoughts, you guys.
Be digging them. I like them.
Be digging them. Be digging them. Yeah. Again, you guys, this is episode 19, man, the gift of words. You can find us over there on YouTube at Light It Up Live, all one word. This is our boy Joe that joined us again at Warpath Ministries. You guys, don't forget, we'll be back here next week at the same time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Remember, your rope's longer than you think. God's rope, it has no end. And hold on tight. God bless.
So light it up. Let his love shine. Stories of grace, hope redefined. Heart to heart. Let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up live. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up live. Welcome home to light it up live. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up live.